Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us on this Friday session of Abounding Grace. I'm continuing in our evaluation, as we have looked at this week, the book by David Wells, the new book, The Courage to be Protestant, put out by Erdmans, published by Erdmans Publishing, 2008. David Wells, The Courage to be Protestant, Truth Lovers, Marketers, and Emergence in the Postmodern World. And we have really been studying what is the real phenomenon of American Christianity today, evangelical Christianity, the marketers, and what has gone wrong, the real feeling that anything that is churchy is sort of an embarrassment, doctrine is an impediment to success in the church, and so anything churchy needs to be removed. We have to reorient what we do to reach the unchurched. And we've looked at that this week. We have evaluated. We've evaluated what the goal has been to revamp everything we do, to make it feel warm and welcoming with a coffee bar, the smell of coffee, and a relaxed atmosphere, not to be too preachy in these sort of things. Down with a traditional church. Down with anything that is formal. And up with the new and innovative ways from the corporate world to reach people. Well, what Wells does on page 44 to the end of chapter 2, and I've really been outlining the first two chapters here for you, is now outline what have been the results of this. And so really he has a series of wrong things that he outlines, wrong results. And the first one is a wrong result. And I want to interact a bit with this. What he says is that this experiment in American evangelicalism has miscarried. Because it's internally flawed. Bible knowledge has been downplayed, and what has happened? Well, ignorance totally reigns. Non-Christians are now, in embarrassment of using anything that sounds churchy and theological, non-Christians are now called not unsaved or apostate or whatever it might be, anything theological. They are now called unchurched. This way, says Wells, we can avoid embarrassing theological truth. It's all about the unchurched Harry and Mary, says Hybels. Church is no longer about theological truth, is the result, and that's a wrong result. Moral behavior has disappeared. Bible knowledge has been lost. Sunday school programs have been almost eliminated. Expository preaching unfashionable. Daily prayer, Bible reading non-existent. It's all vanished with a trashy diet where all worldview, Christian worldview, is being lost. And what the major complaint is that there's no sense of the presence of God in worship. And that makes sense. If truth is absent, Jesus was very concerned about doctrinal truth. He was very concerned with Peter about who men say he is, right? Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? It was about doctrine. If truth is absent, then the Lord is absent. There's no feeling of his presence because the Lord is present in his truth in the revealed will. And if we cast that down, what can we expect? Departure. We're doomed for failure if theology is removed because the method is inherently flawed, says Wells. And that's true. You've removed the method, which is God's chosen method of preaching, because we don't want anything preachy. We've moved it into entertainment. You've removed God's ways of saving sinners. Now, that's not putting God in a box. People are putting God in a box who are trying to fit them into what they think will work instead of listening to what God says he will bless. Important distinction. Second thing Wells says is that people have made a wrong that marketing megachurches have made a wrong calculation. Church marketers live in fear, he says, over how their faith sounds and looks. And this is just a great problem. Anyone who wants to be biblical or confessional today has a real identity problem, and so there's just a fear, right? They think there's an identity problem if they hold on to these things. And so the marketers live in fear of this as they're constantly trying to be innovative. Well, one of the things that has happened, which is very interesting, Wells says, is that Christianity is leaving the West. Here in the West, Christianity is stagnant, but in Africa, Latin America, and parts of Asia, it's burgeoning, at least statistically. The statistical center of the gravity of the Christian church worldwide has moved out of Europe and is now found in Northern Africa. The face of Christianity is changing as a result. It's no longer predominantly Northern European and Anglo-Saxon. Its face is that of the underdeveloped world. It's predominantly from the Southern Hemisphere, young, quite uneducated, poor, and very traditional. Very interesting, isn't it? The question Westerners need to ponder is why, despite our best efforts at cultural accommodation in America, God seems to be taking his work elsewhere. Is there a lesson lurking somewhere in this story? I think so. You're right, Mr. Wells. There is a lesson that when we abandon truth, then God moves on. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter is Christianity is leaving the West. So what is the wrong calculation? Well, Wells says the born-again marketing church has calculated that unless it makes deep, serious cultural adaptations, it will go out of business, especially with the younger generations. What it has not considered carefully enough is that it may well be putting itself outside of business with God. And the further irony is that the younger generations who are less impressed by whiz-bang technology, who often see through what is slick and glitzy, and who have been on the receiving end of enough marketing to nauseate them, are as likely to walk away from these oh-so-relevant churches as to walk into them. That's very, very good and very true. Third, he says there's the wrong analogy. Just like the marketers, they're all concerned to contextualize, to give it so that the listeners can readily understand. Meet people on their own terms. What has happened? The gospel is treated like a product. It identifies most likely with the customers. The aim? Well, the aim has been to the well-to-do middle class, right? Well, what has happened? What's wrong if it clearly works is the question. That the gospel is treated as a product. And what happens is church staffs are there to make it, quote, happen. Well, the question is, what's wrong if it works? Can we argue with success? Wells says yes. Success when it comes at the expense of the truth. The message of the cross is a message of foolishness to the world. The gospel is about truth. The gospel, and this is such an important point, is not to be used but submitted to. This is where this gospel really parts company from the way in which products and services are marketed in our modernized world. That's what he says. The whole wrong analogy is that you can't treat the gospel like a product. He says they are simply there for our use, products, but the gospel's not. The gospel calls us not to use it, but to submit to the God of the universe through his Son. A methodology for success that circumvents issues of truth is one that will rapidly emancipate itself from biblical Christianity. Why? Well, it makes sense. It empties out, he says, the truth of the gospel. The needs, first, he says, the needs consumers have are needs they identify for themselves. So when we see something in the culture we think we need, we identify that. The needs sinners have, in a whole different way, are needs that God identifies for us. That's what Wells says, and he's right. And the way we see our needs is rather different from the way that he sees them. We suppress the truth. We're sinners. The point is, we don't determine our needs. God does for us. The product we will naturally seek for, says Wells, then, will not be gospel, because our needs are different than what God says our needs are. And what has happened? Well, the needs people think they need is a therapy of some kind, a technique for life, right? Rules for living, practical tips for living. Perhaps a way of connecting more deeply with our own spiritual selves on our own terms. terms that require no repentance and no redemption. And Wells says it will not be the gospel. And he's right. The gospel cannot be a product, he says, that the church sells because there are no consumers for it. When we find consumers, we will find that what they are interested in is buying on their own terms, and that will not be gospel. When we accept Christ, he is not there for our use as we treat products, but we are there for his service. And that is absolutely true. And then finally, he says they've hit the wrong customer. This is very true. Who were they looking for, the mega churches? Well, they were, what was the presupposition about the unchurched? Well, they want to come to church not to hear issues of truth and belief. Those things should be avoided like the plague. He says, not so. All these studies that have been done have found that people who are seeking, quote, found that preaching is important to them. Not just any preaching, but preaching with conviction and doctrine. The beliefs of the church were important. They want to know what people believe. This was their preeminent concern. The next issue was the friendliness of the people, far down the list, and so on. Is it so shocking that people want to know what a church believes? He says in this age of jaded, faded, transient beliefs that there's actually something that can be believed for all time. Why a presupposition that people don't want to know what a church believes, and that's stuffy? That is an odd thing and a tool of the devil. It's a wrong assumption, of course, is that people are after the benefits of believing and not the belief itself, says Wells. How can that be? Of course it's the belief itself that people are after. But also it presupposes all this approach to Christianity. Mankind is not sinful and can choose the gospel like any other product. Got milk? Got Jesus, I see? No, it's not so. We are sinners, need to hear the message that we are dead in trespasses and sins and need a Savior who can deliver us. My friends, I hope this has helped this week to outline the current climate, The Courage to be Protestant by David Wells. I would encourage you to get the book and see again what the recovery and what we need, the preaching of the truth of Christ and Him crucified.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.